Well, good evening, everyone. Open up Luke chapter 10 again. First couple verses. Kevin's prayer is exactly what I want to talk about tonight, so that's great. Great little start to get us going here tonight. The church should not think small, part two. So, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. We've got some opening comments here, and then we'll dive back into scripture after a little bit here. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Going to open up with the same line from Jay's notes that I opened up with last week. Kind of comment on some of the comments that were brought forth, and then kind of move on. Jay's notes say congregations generally remain small because they think small. If the resurrected army regards itself as having no territory to conquer, or if it thinks the giants in the land are too powerful to overcome, it does not conquer. Each local unit of the Church of God in Christ Jesus must regard itself as in a period of transition. It must have a vision of itself as moving on to bigger things. So the church can't get stuck in thinking small. It's got to think big. And in large, you do that by always moving. Transition, 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 right? The second you start to get complacent, the second you start to get into coast mode is when casual Christianity starts bringing casualties. So we want to keep moving and always pressing forward. We recognize a couple things, particularly from last week's study. For the foundation of this congregation to remain strong, we must remain strong if we are going to make an evangelistic push. So if we're going to think big and we're going to beseech the Lord of harvest for workers and we're going to be those who are here and continue to push into work and to continue to go and get more guys to set them loose and to continue to encourage those who are ready to go out and to make a push in other regions of the world, if we're going to do that, and we are going to think big. We are not going to think ahead of the Lord. We are just going to think like the Lord. And we know that he wants the gospel to go out. If we are going to do that, it is essential that the foundation of this congregation remains strong. Okay? I think maybe the way I think about it sometimes is people can be like bank accounts. Right? You can go up to your ATM, and you can make withdrawals from your bank account, and you can do that every day, but at some point it's going to say error, no funds available, right? At some point, as you're taking out, you must be putting in, right? And so if this congregation wants to think big, and I would say that we should, and that we shouldn't think small, and we are going to recognize that the fields are white for harvest and get out there, get to work, get people raised up, trained, sent them out, let people go do the, well, I don't mean let, but you understand what I'm saying. Okay. We got to make sure that the foundation here is shored up and remaining strong. Because if you're continually pouring out, you might just wear out. Now, we know that there is times of refreshing that come from the Lord, and so that's where we're going to really have to direct our attention. So a couple thoughts here that I really took away from last week. Those that labor must continue in the joy of their service through resolve. All right? Look, we get tired. And I'm going to come back to this point I think a couple times tonight, but it's easy, not always necessarily true, but it's easy to feel like you're the only one doing anything. All right? It is called a labor of love. It is called a work of faith. It is labor and it is work. Okay? I don't think the Lord is ever trying to take that from us. I think if anybody, the Lord being the author and perfecter of our faith, knows the type of labor and work that love and faith take. Okay? So the thing that really jumped out to me last week from your guys' comments is those that labor must continue in the joy of their service. You cannot lose the joy in serving. Okay? Even when the apostles come back, they said they were excited that they were persecuted for the name of Jesus. Okay? So, kind of in line with that, understanding that it is a great privilege and a great joy to serve others. And that will help you drain a lot less quickly. But also, through resolve, we must also build up others serving around us. Okay? So if you are feeling like at times, like, man, sure, starting to feel like I'm doing a lot of the heavy lifting here, you're not the only one. Okay? Many of the brethren are stepping up and doing lots of things that most will not even know that they're doing, and they feel the same way. So one, we've got to continue to remind ourselves that there is joy in serving. We are given perseverance and encouragement from the scriptures. So when we attach that with resolve, we persevere. But at the same time, understand how important our encouragement to other people is. And I mean, it's simply like, I saw that you signed up to do X, Y, and Z. Thank you for doing that. Or this congregation is better because of you, and particularly because you do this thing. And seeing that, recognizing it, but also telling others that you appreciate that about them, it's amazing. Because that individual might be ready to hang it up. You know, I'm tired of making the coffee. I'm tired of taking out the trash. I'm tired of, you know, whatever. And if you come in and you say, hey, I really appreciate that you've been doing that. That means a lot to me, and I know that we are better because of it. You might have just fueled their fire for another 6 months to a year. Okay? But again, these are thoughts coming from, if we're going to branch out, as we should, and get the gospel out and think big, boy, we really got to make sure that we are backing each other up here, inside, locally. Right? Because don't want to be making constant withdrawals and not feeding and nourishing the body within. That was the first point that jumped out to me. The second thing that jumped out to me is we must, and this is what Kevin said in his prayer, we must reach out and strengthen the bond of unity that we have with others in the congregation. Okay? So it does tie in a little bit to the first point that I had that was a general takeaway from last week, but you know, like Kevin is saying, you know, this particular group that's assembled tonight may not be assembled exactly the way that it is ever again. There's an opportunity there then. That makes it unique. That makes it special, valuable, exciting, right? Take advantage of these opportunities. And here's why I bring this up. It, you know, this isn't something, you know, I got a couple of you came back to me after the class and were like, you know what? You know, I was really encouraged because I feel like I am somebody who goes and meets new people, but it also challenged me that even though I see myself in that light, I also realize that there's one or two I haven't met yet. Like, you know, they were very encouraged by that. A couple of you came up and said that. So what I'm not trying to do is to overwhelm you with, okay, now you have to clean every month, you have to mow every month. Don't forget, you're supposed to be tithing, right? And you got to be meeting all the new people. And if you don't meet new people, then, you know, and then you got to make sure you're encouraging all the other. Like, hey, one person at a time. You can do that. Because this pattern we see when the Lord is trying to build, if everybody would just bring their 10%, do the people have what they need to get the job done? Isn't that the pattern we see with the tabernacle? Do you see why 10% in the Old Testament was such a good number? Because if everybody just did a tenth, you had more than you ever needed. Okay? But what happens is, okay, a few do a lot, and then a whole bunch do nothing. And that's not targeting anybody here or in this congregation. I'm saying that's just kind of the nature of man. All right? So I'm going to challenge that because we aren't mere men. We're new creations. All right? And so, if you're in that boat where you're like, yeah, you know, it's like, I got to do all the preaching, or I got to do all the cleaning, or I got to do all the blah, 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 you know, I mean, whatever. Okay. Hey, one, you're not the only one. So go encourage the other people that are doing it. But hey, how about you go and meet somebody you don't know, build a relationship with them, and then find out what they're doing to serve and to help. Do you think that would strengthen the body as well? What do you think? I know it does. Because there was a particular week a couple months back where in all my Bible studies, I just hit one topic the whole week. All right? And I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll just say it. And then I might just say it again when I get back to my notes. Okay? But what I did was, is I had a general, have you put any thought as to your place in the body conversation? And then we went through the scriptures. We went through Romans 12. And just said, what do you think something that, you, I don't think people when they are immersed into Christ figure out their place in the body right away. Maybe some do. Experience has shown me that it takes others longer than normal. Not normal, but longer than you would think. So what I try to encourage people is I try to say, look, what can you do this Lord's Day? Okay? Now, maybe some of you guys already have some thoughts. But I know you can be an encouragement. Is that a place in the body? Yeah, it's in Romans 12. You can go and find one individual and make it your goal to make their day better. Even if it's just like, you know, it. People's names are powerful, right? Like our name, like someone uses your name and they know you and it's not someone you talk to. It's like, hey, Tyler, how's it going? You know, and someone comes in, you don't necessarily interact with them and you give them a good hearty greeting and a big smile and a wave or a hug, you know, whatever you do. Okay, that makes an impact with people. That you can do that today. Okay, if you're not tithing, you can tithe today. These are things you can do. Okay, you can clean the building this weekend and team up with somebody who's already signed up. Come on in, see how it's done the first few months. Okay, my point is I had these kinds of conversations with people. I even said, hey, if you've never done anything before, I need people to take about 3 or 4 tables to the picnic Lord's Day evening. Okay, and I'm looking for that individual with the pickup that's willing to do that. And I was talking to this individual. I said, you could do that in next week. Okay, after that, we had new people cleaning. And new people mowing, and somebody signed up to help with a picnic all in 1 week. Do you see that? Now, the reason why I bring up the example is I'm one person. What if every single one of us, and to Kevin's prayer, was reaching out? Maybe we're the ones that feel like we do a lot. Maybe we haven't done a lot lately, but we have in the past, and we know we have the experience and the zealousness to fire it back up. But if we went on, you know, on Lord's Day and went and reached out to one person and encouraged them and started continuing to build relationships and had that similar conversation, if each one of us was doing that, what would this place look like in a year? Better? Worse? The same? Yeah, and that's the odd thing about life, is it really, like I'm not trying to put anything on your plate on top of all the stuff you have to do, but I'm trying, it's one person a month, one person, 4 conversations a month. But if we all did it, see, if we all gave 10%, we could fund everything we wanted to do. But the reality is, you know, I mean, and I'm really glad I don't know the actual numbers, but the reality is, you know, some people do and the majority don't. So the people who are having to pick up that load. So I'm just trying to, as an example, like I just made it my goal 1 week to have that conversation with everybody that I came in contact with, and we had new people cleaning, we had new people mowing, and we had people signed up for the picnic all in 1 week. So that's just an encouragement. So those are my 2 things. Okay, if we want to think big, we got to make sure that we're doing good here. Okay? Now, obviously, that makes sense, but that's a trap. Okay? Because you might know people in your lives, in your workplace, maybe your family members that think big, right? And sometimes the trap with people who think big is they neglect what's right in front of them. And that's why God places us all in his body perfectly, because we need the people who can think big, and then we need the people who are like, when's the last time someone cleaned the toilets? You know, like, when's the last time the septic tank got pumped? You know, well, that was a couple years ago. All right, how long have we had that thing, and when does it need replaced? Like, 3 years ago? What did you know that? I just found that out. I know it's been clean, but the thing's how many years old? 25 years old? Close to 30? How often are those supposed to be replaced? 20. You see what I'm saying? We need those people that are like, this is what we need now. And we also need the people that are looking 10 years down the road. But if we're going to have a conversation about looking big and thinking big, we can't neglect what's right here in front of us. And this here is what's right in front of us. And we cannot burn out the people who are here now. Does that make sense? Like, so I think that's pretty clear. And the other thing I'm just adding on to that is I had some thoughts after last week was, look, and if you're looking for some help, go get it. Go find that person and talk to them. Say, hey, you know, would you be willing to, I mean, what are you bringing for potluck? You know, oh, I guess, well, we don't normally stay. Well, why not? Oh, I guess I'd never really thought about it. Okay, well, great. You know, bring some donuts. Mr. Tool likes donuts, you know. Okay. Okay, yep, got that. So here's my thought that I think I'm a little ahead on, but I'll just say it now. I do this more than you guys realize, but I sit on themes and on ideas for months at a time. And then when I think the time's right, then I preach them. Okay? And I've been really wanting to do a message I did about a year ago on your place in the body. Okay? It's a great message. It's a fun one. And it's a great reminder. And you guys have heard it before. Now, up to this point, at least the last couple of years, I've never just flat out repeated a message. So I think this will kind of be the first time I do that. It'll probably be different because I don't know what I did last time. But my point is, you've probably heard that before. So what I'm counting on is you guys to come behind me, okay, and then to encourage those who are hearing it for the first time Lord's Day and follow up with them. Hey, what? Have you thought about your place? Who here has asked somebody else, what's your place in the body, and you always get the answer, oh, I don't know. Am I the only one? Okay, so a few of you, but the rest of you guys are being shy. Told people what you think their place in the body is. Well, I think I don't. So Kevin says, I've told people what I think their place in the body is, and that's great. You go up to somebody, it's like, hey, well, but I know what he means because I've done it. You see somebody who's passionate and has a strength, and then you approach them and say, do you know this about yourself? And do you see how great this would be to the body? I know you guys are laughing because you think Kevin's being hard. Kevin's only tough when he's up here. Okay? Luke said that for years. I know it to be true. Okay? He's only tough from up here. All right? One-on-one, he's softy. Okay? So, I don't know why it is. I think we just don't think about it. So, in my opinion, so far, you need 1 Corinthians 10 every year, and now you need your place in the body every year. Now, you've heard that message. I guess I have repeated a message. I did 1 Corinthians 10 twice. So, you've heard it before. Maybe you know your place in the body. I bet some of you here don't have an answer to that. And I don't think it has to be like clear cut, you know. I'm the evangelist. You know, that's so easy, right? But then go and follow up with people. I bet you guys have people who are in your family or who are close to you who aren't here tonight that'll be here Lord's Day. Right? Talk to them. Okay, what's your place in the body? And I guess if I could take, you know, you just say, what's your place in the body? That's such a hard question to answer, and that's why it takes time. The easy way to boil it down is, what are you doing to serve? That's the easy way to boil it down. This Lord's Day, what are you doing to serve others? Because it's the law of Christ, is to serve others. It's flat out. I mean, that's when we signed up to follow Christ Jesus and to imitate his example, he said he came to serve and not to be served. And that's why it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us, because we've signed up to be in service to others for the rest of our lives, because that's what Christ Jesus did. Okay. So what I'm saying is I'm counting on you guys. Okay. After Hostetter comes and does the preaching on Lord's Day and we get back from family camp, that's probably going to be the message, is your place in the body. I might sneak a family camp recap kind of message in there. We'll see. But, you know, and I'll be counting on you guys to follow through. with others and to, you know, probe them and to excite them and to share what you do with them. Josh has got a comment here.
Got to offer some encouragement to everyone. Back in Missoula, when I was first finding my place in the body, it took Mark Miller is like, hey, why don't you, you know, try this out, go give it a shot, and that was teaching Sunday school for 10 to 12 year olds, and for me, I was completely fearful of the position. Like, really, you want me to be in a leadership position teaching somebody this? And I was just like, oh, okay, I'll do it. But after time, after that encouragement, it kind of stuck. I was like, I really enjoy this. And just, you know, kind of what you mentioned, you know, Kevin, mm-hmm. Just suggest it and, you know, have them try it out. And it might take a little bit of time to get over a type of fear. But like you said, that service attitude, mm-hmm. That's really what helps us overcome mm-hmm. that fear.
Yeah. 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 Great example. Appreciate you sharing. Anybody else right now while I'm cruising through here? Okay. So want to make a little bit of a turn here. Cause here's where we kind of shift gears. And I thought this was really important. And we didn't get to this last week. So the heading on Jay's notes says, recognize the importance of your participation in the midst of larger numbers. Okay? And that is what, I mean, that's something that came up last week, right? Because in the beginning, it kind of was like challenging us a little bit. Like, are we small? Are we medium? Are we schmedium? You know, like, what are we? Like, I don't think there's an answer to that. I really don't. Okay, so instead of thinking in those terms, let's just ask ourselves, do we think small or do we think big, right? Well, this congregation at one point, predating me even, was quite a bit smaller than it is now. And so the families who are here today that have been through that transition are saying that it is much easier to go unnoticed now than it was before. Well, that just makes sense, you know? It's like when you're younger and you went to school and you had small classrooms and you were like, yay, more teacher interaction, right? Now you got, you know, I graduated with 500 kids. I didn't exactly have my teacher's attention for 4 years. You know, I just kind of got ignored. And then once a year, they just looked at my grades and just said, okay, you know, well, that's a whole another funny story. Yeah, go along, okay? They actually can't hold people back. I mean, you have to just flat out not go to school to hold people back, okay? It's easier to get noted. It's easier to get missed. But here's the other thing. It's also to feel like your participation doesn't matter. And it's just flat out not true. If anything, being a bigger size of Resurrected Army, we should be doing tenfold what we did before. But because it's easy to get missed and it's easy to feel like your contribution isn't mattering, the percentage of people actually lifting and serving and doing the work actually shrinks as the congregation gets bigger. So I really like this point that Jay made. I think I'm just going to read this section here. Recognize the importance of your participation. Recognize. Like, you know, school's on my mind lately. I'm glad that Josh brought up Sunday school. Like, I know for a fact, okay, some of these guys and gals that have come through and have labored in the school for the number of years they have, fight that feeling of, is my coming in for an hour every day making an impact? And I'm telling you, it does. You know, and then we get Caleb here, who comes up and preaches a message, you know, about a month back. And the first thing he says is, man, like, you know, I can think about math with Mrs. Simpson, you know, like, hey, we are, like, it doesn't seem like it's making, these things can seem like they're not making an impact in the moment, but in the realm of the eternity, it's the difference between darkness and light. It matters. And I just, today, I just want you to believe that what you do matters. Absolutely does. Okay? Even if you can't see it. So let's see this is long. Okay. One of the tendencies of many of the brethren in Christ is to forget how valuable and important each one is, or to forget how important his contribution to the total effort is. He may feel that there are so many others around that his effort is not needed or noticed. Our man or woman must recognize that he is a part of the body, and his contribution to that effort is just as important in a larger congregation as it is in a smaller congregation. In fact, the impact is usually larger because it's multiplied through more people. It just can't be seen as clearly. In a larger congregation, there's more flexibility, and the brother or sister can specialize more easily. That's true. It is important that he not use that flexibility to go to sleep. That's also true. Every Christian's active participation in the spread of the gospel and other congregational activities is vitally important in the contribution to overall momentum. Each person's participation is critical in the gospel's impact on the world. Awesome. Okay, so with that thought, I wanted to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We can turn on over there. I think this is an important topic, and I'm close, but I don't have the answer, okay? Because there's a delicate balance, right? Let me explain it this way. Are we to serve in Jesus' kingdom? Is there joy in serving? Okay? Can we be renewed through the Holy Spirit? So should we burn out? Do people burn out? Where's that line? Well, scripturally, I got to say that all renewing is possible through the Holy Spirit. Okay? I heard Jeff say it the first time. I am not... Oh, I'm just going to skip that. We can have joy that overflows. We can have the peace that passes understanding. And it guards our hearts, and we can be joyful in the Lord no matter what. But at that same time, I also think there's wisdom in the structure of a congregation and in the service, in its leadership, and what's being asked. Okay? Because the honest reality is, you shouldn't burn out. Do people burn out? All the time. So that tells me that there's a line where wisdom needs to be interjected. Okay? Now, what I mean by I don't have the answer is I see people who are laboring. And maybe they're laboring for a couple years. Maybe they've been laboring for 20 years. It doesn't matter. And I hear it in their voice. I've kind of been doing this thing for a while, and I'm the only one that does it, and I'm just kind of ready for somebody else to do it. Okay? And the reasonable side of me is like, okay, because what you do, I want you to do heartily to the Lord. And if your heart ain't in it, I don't want you doing it, right? Because I don't want to come back from this other perspective being like, you're supposed to serve, okay? Because I've been told that before, right? Like, I have gone, oh boy, I'll just stop there. So, okay, where's that line? Well, here's what I do know. Let's say, I've been doing this thing for 2 years. I've been teaching Sunday school for 2 years. Okay, here's a really good example. Mikkel, you're on the spot. One of the greatest things Mikkel did was he kind of offered to help direct the Sunday school operation here. And he wanted to do it because he wanted to come in and institute like six-month, what do I call them, contracts. You know, because if you're committed, you're committed, okay? But what was happening is people were teaching Sunday school and there was no clear direction and they were doing it for 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, I've been teaching Sunday school all since I've been a Christian, right? You've been teaching Sunday school for how long? 6 years. Huh?
About 5, 6 years.
And there was nobody to take their position. And so they were doing it and they were kind of ready to be done, but then they just kept doing it because nobody else was going to do it. Then Mikkel came in and was like, okay, I'm going to take control of this thing and I'm going to do 6 months. And here's the great thing. At 6 months, you must either renew or quit. No, not quit, but say, hey, an opportunity to say, yeah, I think I'm ready to go do something else. Does that make sense? That's a recognition that people need to be given the opportunity to give feedback and then to get other people who are fresh and excited in those positions. Okay? But here's where I'm coming back Okay, if you're going to pull, let's say you've been teaching Sunday school for 2 years, and you say, okay, I'm done, you have to plug in somewhere else. Because what happens is people unplug, and that's what Jay said, right? In a larger congregation, there's flexibility, and the brother or sister can specialize more easily, but it's also important that he doesn't use his flexibility to go to sleep. And half of you giggled at that because you know exactly what I'm talking about. So if you're going to say, okay, boop, yeah, I'll take my 6 month leave, you know, I'm done. Okay, you got to plug in somewhere else. Can't get complacent. That's thinking small. Right? So I thought 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, great encouraging chapter to encourage you that what you are doing matters. And that I recognize there's a line. I'm not going to ask you to do what you do. You know, maybe okay, Mike's been doing Peaks for how long?
13 years.
13 more. Are you ready to renew?
I'll get back to you.
Oh! Hey! Can we have that trailer?
Sure.
Maybe someone else, maybe it's time for someone else to do the meal planning preparation of that. You see that? Maybe that's time, right? But our involvement matters. Okay, now look at this. In verse 2, it says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Work, labor, steadfastness. And if this congregation will commit to those three things, it can be an encouragement to entire regions. Because those in Macedonia and Achaia were, because of the church in Thessalonica. Verse 8, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we would have no need to say anything. For they themselves report to us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. That's encouraging. Your labor matters. Right? And isn't that kind of what we're talking about when we think big? It's for this congregation to be rock solid. And because it's rock solid and we're constantly checking in with one another, we're constantly encouraging one another, building each other up, seeing when others are starting to drag a little bit and saying, hey, can I help you out here? And then finding others who, hey, that's just the honest reality of how people work. There are some people in this congregation who are on the fringes that aren't fully plugged in. And you see it because they're not consistent at the assemblies. Okay? Reach out to them. What's your place in the body? How are you going to serve today? And it's simple. Like, as soon as you hit that street corner and that roundabout, ask yourself, who am I going to encourage today? One person a week. Know their name. Use their name. Ask them about their week. Encourage them. We strengthen ourselves, and it can sound forth through entire regions. That's thinking big. Okay? Through the context of us being strong local unit.
I know that there was early on when I was a young Christian, there were many times where I just wanted to be out in the periphery and not noticed. Don't yeah. notice me. I didn't want to be noticed.
Exactly.
And I didn't want to be committed. But what anchored me and made forced me to do that was when I was asked to serve.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I was anchored whether I liked it or not.
Yeah.
And it got me to assembly on a regular basis. And it was when I didn't want to, that connection made me.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me that desire.
Yeah.
Until I had it. My own.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and I used the example of Texas Roadhouse last week. You know, these managing partner programs that they had are different than the general manager programs they have at like Outback. And the difference is you become a partner. And you got to pay $25,000 to buy into the company to be a manager for them. Now, why are they doing that? They want skin in the game. As soon as you're involved and you're bringing something to the table and now you care about that, right? So, really good example. I hope 1 Thessalonians was encouraging. Generally speaking, the local congregation remains small or stagnant, not because the harvest is not plentiful, but because the workers are few. And that's the thing we have to fight against. It's a worker shortage. It's not a harvest shortage. That's interesting. Spiritually, and that's what we see even today. I think I'm just going to wrap up here a little early. You know, I had some verses. Maybe many of us know this. If you read Acts 19, if you read Colossians 1, the Bible's pretty clear that in the first century, the gospel went to the whole world. That's amazing. Like, stop and just let yourself think about it for a second. From Judea to the whole world. By the time Colossians is written, which is like 62, 63 AD, 30 years. Wham! Okay, and that's without the internet, right? Acts says the gospel went through all of Asia without Facebook. I added the last part in. Okay, I mean, that's amazing. Without airplanes and combustion engines and the like, right? So the record of the first century church and its spreading, it really is inspiring. I'll leave us with a last comment here and then hear from you guys. We got 5 minutes. We'll turn over here to 2 Thessalonians. Jesus worked with the disciples. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Jesus worked with the disciples to get them to see the harvest. In a passage referred to earlier, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest." And that's the verse that we've read the last couple weeks. We got to pray in this way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. And we will be rescued from this perverse and evil men, for not all have faith." You know, that reminds me of John chapter 4, 35. Jesus says, "Do not stay there yet 4 months, and then the harvest comes. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look into the fields. They are white for harvest." So I think on Wednesdays that needs to be up here, however you want to word that. Okay, that's how this congregation is going to think big. The fields are already white. The grain heads have turned. The sickle is ready to go. We just got to get people out in the fields working. Hey, look, thank you guys for your labor of love and your work of faith and the things you're doing. If you're fighting that feeling that you're kind of the only one doing it or you got it quite the load, okay, there is joy in it. What you do matters. It makes a spiritual, eternal impact, and go encourage others. We need workers. We need workers. We need workers. And we can do that by getting people in this congregation that aren't, you know, signed up on the sheets and bringing things here and baking this and doing that and just saying, "Hey, your personality, these are things that I think are naturally great about you. Have you thought about doing that and serving in this way?" And that's going to help get more workers. And then we get out there and just get more new creations. And we get more workers that way. And all the while, let's make sure our foundation here is firm and strong. Okay? If you don't know where to start, I've tried to give you some examples tonight. Bring someone to the picnic. Do that. Bring someone. I mean, look, the hardest part in the world we live in getting the gospel out is new context. And if you bring a dozen people that none of us have met, we'll probably set up 3 Bible studies that day. Bring them. Bring them. You want to think big, you want to get the gospel out, and you want to take the sickle to the grain heads that have turned white, and you want to do your part in getting the gospel, just bring someone to the picnic. That's what it's there for. Okay, closing comments. Mike's got one. I like this, wrap it up a little early. So, Damien, you look like you're itching to get some work here. I'll get a drink of water. You grab Mike's comment, and then anybody else who's been holding on to something.
I think it's important too, when you first opened this up last week and with the comment, a congregation will be smaller or large depending on their thinking small and large.
Yeah.
And my thought went immediately to thinking, instead of small and large, thinking meekly or mightily. And by that, I mean...
That's a really good point.
When you're a new Christian, or maybe not even new, but you're struggling in different areas. You're struggling maybe to get to assembly. You got to just keep going, because at some point, the difference between thinking meekly and mightily is when you start. Momentum is a key, because when you start having some victories and your momentum starts building, what happens is we start to recognize and believe and buy into the power of God in our lives.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Because is Christ in us able to bring us out of the muck and the mire? Or is it not?
That's right.
That largely depends on, do we believe that the power of Christ can do that? And you can almost see a light bulb go on with people when they believe that. And then when they see the power of Christ working in their lives, that is going to bolster everything. They're going to start talking to people about Christ. They're going to start asking for Bible studies. They're going to start encouraging the brethren. They're going to start reading their scriptures daily. When you know the ability of the power of Christ in your life and what he can do, it just explodes.
Yeah.
But if we think meekly of the power of Christ in our lives, that's exactly what we're going to get. If we believe and think mightily of the power of life, Christ in our lives, then it's going to blow up.
Yeah. That's a really great point. If we really believe it, like, we'll share it with everybody. I mean, if we really believe the transforming power of God in us. Yeah, appreciate that. Okay. Hey, appreciate your guys' attention. I hope you're encouraged. You know, let's build, and let's build big for the Lord. So, yeah, prayer requests, thanksgivings, and we'll have Kevin pray for us tonight.